Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Saturday, October 29th, and college basketball begins a week from Monday, guys. November 7th.
9 days away.
It's 9 days away, and I know that we say this every single podcast, but it has actually been forever since we recorded.
We had a long hiatus.
Yes, we had a long hiatus. You know, we said we'd come back with an off-season podcast, like, sometime in the summer.
To do with transfers.
It is technically still the off-season.
Okay. We fulfilled the promise, potentially.
There you go. Great spin zone, Alex. Good job. But we did not really fulfill the promise. We said we were going to come out with something like July, like a transfers episode. It never happened. But here we are today with our 2022-2023 season preview of college basketball. I couldn't be more excited.
Me neither. It's coming up quick. A lot of changes in the offseason. A lot of big news, I guess you could say, that kind of shocked the world.
Alex
got some points.
Alex, when was the last time we recorded? Do you think it was April?
Yeah.
Probably mid-April.
Yep. Mid-April, I'd say, yeah.
Something like that. So let's just do a quick, and when I say quick, I mean quick, history of what's happened since then. Number one, Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova, retired.
Most surprising news of the offseason by far. No, that kind of came out of nowhere. Everybody kind of expected. I mean, what is he, 62? Like,
however old he is, he does not look that old. I'll tell you that. Good looking guy, Jay Wright. But Alex, you know, you're the resident Big East guy over here. Did you even ever consider this?
I didn't think so. I mean, you look at Coach K, obviously, who retired. He's up there in years.
He's like 80.
Jay Wright.
He's about 80.
Still younger. And I mean, he just had this program for so long. He took hold of the program and he made it just infinitely better. And it was kind of a surprise. I mean, they had a good team. They lost Justin Moore in their March Madness run, the most recent. So I guess that kind of stunk for him.
But they still didn't go out on a whimper. I mean, let's not forget, they made the Final Four.
But I do think their hiring of a new head coach was the right choice. They stayed in-house, got the new guy. Kyle Neptune is his name, so he was a longtime assistant under Jay Wright. I don't think when you have as much success as Villanova, I don't think hiring a new guy from outside the system to come in and change things up.
And I think in-house hiring, North Carolina proved that that can be very, very successful with Hubert Davis. I mean, he stepped in there and led them to the national championship game, for crying out loud. So I agree. You know, I would be lying if I said I knew a whole ton about Kyle Neptune, because I certainly don't. But
we'll have to see. You know, I mean, you get this, you know, every year you're like, all right, Jay Wright's going to, even if they're struggling, like, Jay Wright's going to figure it out. Now it's like, you know, that effect is gone.
Right.
Kind of. We'll have to see, obviously.
We'll see.
But, you know, now you can't officially count on Nova to be there because of Jay Wright. It's going to have to be, you know, some guy's going to have to, new coach is going to have to prove himself.
Right.
So.
And then I would say the biggest just college sports news, not just basketball, would be the conference shakeup that's going to be happening in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so the Pac-12 is, you know, slowly falling apart.
The Pac-12 is cooked, let's be honest with ourselves.
The two top probably gross profiting organizations are USC and UCLA. I'm sure they make up over half of all the profit that the Pac-12 makes, and they're both joining the Big Ten, I believe, in 2025?
I think 2024 or 5. Yeah, 5, like I think that could be right.
But obviously, this covers all sports. So my prediction for college sports in the future is that eventually there's going to be two mega conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten.
I agree.
And it's all going to be merged. It's all obviously going to be based off of football, because that's the highest profiting sport. So obviously the SEC is a football powerhouse, and the Big Ten has some solid teams. And now that they're adding UCLA and USC, they'll become even more competitive with the SEC. So it's probably just going to end up being two, you know, 20 plus team conferences, kind of just running it. I don't know how that's,
which is really sad in my opinion. I don't want to get too deep into this, because this happened months and months ago and the discourse has already been way overplayed on this. But, you know, one of the really cool things about college sports, at least in my opinion, is the regionality of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having your own conferences in different regions of the country. That's what I think is so cool about it, because people are just, you know, they're ride or die for their teams, but they're also ride or die for their conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that that doesn't die. These two power conference ideas that you have for the future, sort of like, I don't want to say conspiracy theory, but like, people are sort of theorizing that that's what might happen.
Yeah, it's pretty,
I really hope that that's, that the dad doesn't.
I know. It's sad that everything's just based off of money, because college sports are, you know, that's meant to be like the tradition. That's kind of like, you know, where everybody like gets around is the tradition, versus like pros are obviously, you know, more money based. Obviously, you know, they want to make money as well too, but you just kind of hate to see it go in the money direction as opposed to tradition.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 is kind of cooked. I mean, who do you really have left? From a basketball standpoint, it's, what, Oregon, Arizona?
Baylor.
No, what are you talking about?
I think it's just
You're rusty. Let's knock off that rusty, Wes. Yeah. Like,
that's it. Oregon and Arizona.
The Pac-12 is going to be a stinker in college basketball.
I don't want to go over this too much because that's sort of a we'll cross that bridge when we get to it sort of thing.
It's still years away.
Yeah, it's still years away. Moving on. Good piece of news. Bo Borowski, the most hated ref
in Big Ten,
maybe the entire sport, retired. Wesley, let's rejoice.
Surprising news. Well, also, Brad Gibson gone equals, I mean, maybe he thought, you know, I got nothing left in the tank. He took it all out of me, slash, that was the last guy I wanted to finish, and then, no, he's done. So,
yeah.
It is kind of funny, but he did suck. He was atrocious. So, it's good for the sport. It's an all-around win for everybody.
Make basketball better.
Yeah, and honestly, I read something a week ago about how the Big Ten was sort of not like completely redoing their officiating, but like he's not the only change they're making. They're making some other changes.
Gotcha.
So,
okay,
I would never say that the Big Ten's like the worst officiated conference. Would you?
I would say it's the Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12.
That's fair.
Pac-12 is a softer brand.
But there have been some complaints in the past, so maybe Big Ten's making an improvement there. I don't know. And then lastly, obviously, with the transfer portal these days, there are a ton of transfers.
Yes.
We're not going to get to everyone, but do you want to like highlight some of the good ones?
Yeah, I can. I think the biggest one, in my opinion, obviously this is up for debate, I would say is Tyrese Hunter from Iowa State to Texas. So obviously a prolific scorer, probably the best, you know, was the best guard in the transfer portal, some could argue.
And right, because he was an underclassman, right?
Yeah.
It was a freshman last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he was a true freshman.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of, I mean, I guess it's kind of rare for the guy to have a nice season and then just, you know, want to leave. I mean, I guess the team, you don't know, he doesn't believe the direction the team's going in. But Texas lost Courtney Ramey also to the transfer portal, so they kind of just rinse and repeat. But they totally got an upgrade in Tyrese Hunter, I'd say.
I agree. That's going to be a dynamic backcourt as well.
Marcus Carr.
Carr the star is still on Texas.
I don't know how that works with shot volume because Marcus Carr is a volume player.
Yeah, he's what you call a chucker.
He is a chucker. I mean, he's gonna shoot 40% from the field. He's going to take probably 17 to 18 plus shots. I don't know how it's going to work with Haliburton. They're both going to – I mean, they're going to have to find ways to be efficient. And, I mean, obviously they're a top 25 team. I don't know if I feel like Texas always has the star guards and then just, you know, just lay an egg. Come tourney time, come down the stretch.
At least recently that has been.
Recently, obviously, yes. So, yeah, I don't really know what to believe in them. Kendrick Davis and
if
SMU.
If only Luke was here.
But, you know, SMU.
His ponies.
No, pony up, I guess. But Kendrick Davis is on Memphis now. He was a high scoring, I think, 20-plus points per game guard. Obviously, you know, this is at SMU, so they're staying in the same conference. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't want to challenge himself, you know, in Power 5 basketball. That would be a hashtag respectable moment if he's just looking to drop points and make some money in the NBA. And some other guys, we had Terrence Shannon move to Illinois.
That's going to be a phenomenal fit.
And they also picked up Matt Mayer. Illinois got some good transfers.
They did get some good transfers.
Obviously, Illinois has no more Kofi Coburn. We'll sort of get into all that later on their team makeup, but... Yeah, they needed to get some transfers, and I do like those two pickups.
I feel like Terrence Shannon is the exact player that Brad Underwood loves.
Like, how
so? He just fits the mold. He's a tough, gritty player, works hard. He's going to get after it.
And once again, we'll get to Illinois, but they have underwhelmed in the tournament 2 years in a row, and I'm not saying that people are going to start coming after Brad Underwood. He's a great coach dating back to his days at SFA, but there are people that are going to want some answers. That's all I'm going to say.
Answers this year. That's fair.
People are going to want some answers from him.
And just another name that I mean, these are all guys just like that I see that, you know, are kind of relevant and like being added to good teams. So Malachi Smith coming from Chattanooga had a good year. I think he was their best player, I would say.
Where'd he go? Gonzaga, right?
He went to Gonzaga, yeah. So they needed to obviously replace some star power. SoCon player of the year. They got Drew Timmy back. You know, Drew Timmy every year it seems like, you know, is he gone? Nope, he's back for more.
Somehow
he just comes back for more. So that's a good pickup. Obviously Matt Mayer then also going to Illinois. Baylor Shireman, big pickup.
Big transfer.
He's kind of a do-all guy. Rebound, pass, he can score well. He's a decent shooter from outside.
This is another perfect fit for Baylor.
Yeah,
Shireman,
Alex, I know me and you both love Creighton this year. We're going to get into them a little bit later.
Creighton's going to be really good.
I may have been 1 year too early on Creighton last year. If you don't remember, I did have them making an Elite Eight run last year. Didn't happen, but
yeah,
we might have been a year too early.
The previously mentioned Courtney Ramey moves from Texas to Arizona. I don't really know what to think of Arizona. I feel like they just like recycle players every year, and like, you know, they're in and out quick. They don't feel like they have like, you know, the guy that's there for 3+ years. Obviously, they lost Coloco, but don't really know what to think of Arizona. Andre Curbelo obviously leaving Illinois for St. John's.
Going back home.
Yeah.
The Johnnies.
That's going to be a fun backcourt to watch, watch though.
And I've been...
Posh and Curbelo.
Will, I've been seeing a few of Curbelo's tweets, and he seems like he's really been reinvigorated in his joy of basketball. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, he did seem like he had no interest.
It just seemed like it was really getting to him in Illinois, and he just didn't enjoy it anymore. And I've been seeing some of his tweets, and he's like, I just love to be playing basketball again. And he just seems really happy. So,
yeah, good for him.
You know, just outside of a, like, how does this affect X team or whatever?
Yeah.
Just good for the player.
Yeah, I totally
agree.
You want
him to be happy.
And then the last guy I'm just going to mention quick is Pete Nance. Super athletic freak coming from Northwestern to UNC. UNC retains legitimately everybody on their – national champion.
Well, they lost Brady Manek.
Brady Manek, I have to apologize. Pete Nance could be, I mean, Brady Manek obviously was a stud, but Pete Nance is going to do a decent job of filling those shoes. Kind of, he's going to play the same position, obviously, different role. He's more of a slasher.
And yeah, I'm not sure anyone can play the same role as Brady Manek. He just had such a unique game.
He had a weird game. Shooter, but like, really unathletic.
He's a good rebounder, though.
Good sneaky rebounder for being, like, super.
But then he was also terrible at defense.
Yeah, I know.
He was an awful defender. So.
Yeah, but Pete Nance is solid. He actually shot 45% from three last year. Okay. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing he's not, you know, hucking threes like Brady Manek is. But
Brady Manek can stroke it from three, too.
He could
so.
As well. So
it's I can
good,
see. I
good
can see
pickup
how it
for UNC. Obviously, you know, there's a million other transfers. A lot of smaller-name guys. A lot of big-name guys, too, that I didn't mention. But, you know, those are just some teams that are picking up players that could become key additions, kind of lead them.
Some of the main ones.
I just want to know one more thing. I forgot Dawson Garcia sat out last year because of family issues. He's now going to Minnesota, going back home. But he would have been a perfect fit for UNC if he would have just stayed there. A stretch four.
Yeah. What were his family issues? Like, is there any further information
about
that?
Mom's health or something.
Okay. And he had to take care of his mom.
Makes sense that he's going back home then.
Yep. Yeah, so that's where they are. So, I mean, it makes sense to be a drive away.
Any more that you want to point out, Alex, or should we get into the AP poll?
I think that's just about it. I think there's some mid-major talent that's going to now Power 5 schools. Isaiah Mosley is going to be really good from Missouri State. He's just going to Mizzou. He's going right up the road. Nigel Pack, look out for him. He was at K-State. He had a huge second half of last season.
He was helping K-State pull off some huge upsets last year.
Yes.
And then I guess Emony Bates, he's going to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, didn't he get arrested or something, too?
He's
kind of been going through it. So, once again, just everything else aside, prayers up for the kid himself. let's get into the AP poll, preseason AP poll here. You want to get us started, Alex?
Yeah, so coming in at number one, we have the runner-ups, North Carolina.
I think if you don't put North Carolina at one, I think I genuinely question what your thought process is on this. Reaching the national championship game, bringing everybody back except Brady Manek. Dynamic scores, probably best or second best big man in the country now in Armando Bacot. Mm-hmm. Him or Timmy are probably competing, I'd say, for one or two. Prolific scorers, Caleb Love, RJ Davis. Picking up Pete
Their
Nance.
Their backcourt's really good.
Leaky Black's back for like his eighth year in college basketball.
They need Leaky Black, though.
Do they still have Puff Johnson?
Yes, they do. Puff the Magic Johnson is still
Might
there.
Be another bench piece because they do need a bit more depth on
they
that
They do
team.
Need depth, yes. So, obviously, you know, they rinse and repeat with Pete Nance for Brady Manek. But other than that, they really had no depth last year. I mean, they were like a five, maybe six deep, I guess.
But if they can get a few minutes from some of those other guys like Puff Johnson, that could make...
Puff Johnson's just a funny guy.
Yeah, and I would push back a little bit when you say, what are you doing if you don't have them number one? Like, there have been years where the number one team's a little bit more obvious. But you're right from strictly a narrative perspective.
Yeah.
You know, you're the runner-up last year. You bring back four out of your five starters.
Yep.
Pick up Pete Nance in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Like,
it's hard
how do you
not?
How do you not put them at number one, you know?
And like, the only other team you could argue, I guess, Gonzaga, and you could argue Houston. But Gonzaga obviously lost Chet. Who was a core part of their team, and they didn't really add somebody of his
caliber. They lost Nembhard,
obviously, So they kind of have more unproven guys stepping up, like Julian Strother, who is good, but you just don't really know. Maybe a little more unproven, so it's easier to put UNC at one.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then, obviously, you know, Gonzaga then comes in at two, right behind them. I said you could make the argument, but I think it's fair to put
that. Would it be safe to say that people are just a little burned out of Gonzaga? Every year having them be number one the entire season.
So it feels good. And then they never win.
And then never actually winning. Although, I mean, 2 years ago they were runner-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that team was unbelievable.
Right. That's why I push back on people a little bit when they're like, oh, Gonzaga, they never play anybody. They'll never win. It's like, it's hard to win it all. Like, let's slow down on that. But people do have a little bit of Gonzaga fatigue, I feel like, and...
So yeah, but they
no matter how good they are, I don't know if they were going to get number one.
They're going to need some guys to step up this year, though. I mean, losing Chet obviously is huge, but Andrew Nembhard, that's a big departure. He made that offense
glue
wrong.
Guy.
Yeah, he did.
He's not a glue guy. He made
he's
that
a,
offense.
He's a strong
wrong.
Glue guy. You need strong glue.
That's fair. But yeah, they will need I wouldn't say inexperienced, but less experience. Guys to pick up some big minutes and kind of carry the guard position for them with Nembhard leaving. And then we get number three, we have Houston.
Love this ranking.
I do too. Kelvin Sampson, obviously an electric coach, great coach.
Yep.
Kind of bringing the Houston basketball program back from nothing over the last years that he's been there.
Took Houston to the Elite Eight last year without their two best scorers.
Exactly. They lost their two best
scorers. Final Four the year before.
I think they lost their two best scorers, Tremont Mark
and
Marcus Sasser.
And people were really picking UAB to beat them in the first round.
Yeah. And they lost their two best scorers in December, so like having to like recalibrate their whole team.
And they're both coming back this year, right?
Yep. Both are back.
Both back. They're bringing back their big Reggie Chaney, and they picked up a huge big in the in their recruiting class. Houston's been really good.
After Houston beat Rutgers in the second round of the 2021 March Madness, I proclaimed that I would never, ever pick Houston again in my bracket. And man of my word, last year I did not pick them. I picked UAB. That might be difficult for me to do this year because this is a really good Houston team.
Yeah, they're probably.
This is a really good team.
It is a really good team. And you can always count on a Kelvin Sampson / Houston team to be deep. They always seem like they're running eight or nine guys deep.
Yeah,
they're going to suffocate you on defense
exactly
for 40 minutes,
and they're gonna crash
a lot of threes,
and they're gonna crash the offensive glass because that's honestly what they're best at is offensive glass. So you can always count on them for that. They got a lot of guys too, so they're always gonna be hunting in as well, like Alex said. So,
and I mean, it might be a blessing in disguise, but like they lose their two best players, so guys need to step up, and those guys that stepped in. I mean, they got Elite Eight experience. They played in an
Elite
Eight game.
Yeah, they're not going to be afraid to step up to the plate when it matters.
Exactly.
Moving in then to number four, we got Kentucky. I don't know how I feel about – I don't really know too much about Kentucky kind of coming into this year. I
mean, they're coming off a disappointing year losing to St. Peter's in the first round.
Yeah, so I don't know how you can really – Yeah, I guess top four. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
they're bringing
you
back
have Oscar coming back, and Samir Wheeler.
He's going to be so dominant yet again.
Yeah,
he's going to get
right.
30 boards a game.
The fact that I did not include him in the top big men is a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's him, Drew, and Armando who are going to be the top three, obviously, kind of fighting for that top spot. But he is a monster on the glass. He's going to be averaging 15-plus rebounds a game kind of thing.
I mean, obviously it's Kentucky. They have their big recruits coming in like always. But they do also have C.J. Frederick, who will be a nice piece
Interesting.
For Kentucky.
Okay.
Coming off that injury, the former Iowa transfer.
Good shooter.
Yep, good
decent
shooter.
Decent ball handler as well, actually. I think he ran point for them for a decent amount of time.
He'll be a good veteran leader on that team.
Probably a bench piece? Or
something that they haven't had in a while because
you think he starts or comes off the bench?
Starts.
You think
he's that good of a player.
Okay. I don't really know like the talent of the recruiting class and like where they have heavy talent on guards or forwards or whatnot, but obviously a veteran player, see how he comes off the long injury he's coming off of. And then number five, Kansas. It's actually there's a tie for five right now with Kansas and Baylor. Kind of weird to see the preseason points, the points, I don't know how their point system works, but they like assign points to each team, and that's how they rank the top 25. But Baylor and Kansas have exactly the same amount of points. Obviously, Kansas lost some prolific players to the draft, and Ochaigbaji obviously is probably going to be there. Not probably. He is their biggest loss. I don't know, is Jalen Wilson still there?
Jalen Wilson's there. They also lost Remy
Christian
Martin.
Brown.
Christian Remy Brown. Remy Martin, mid as can be. But
Kansas
Remy Martin started nice coming alive in the tournament.
Kansas is also really deep, too. They're still going to have Yosefu.
He's going to be playing big minutes this year.
Tawan Harris, again at guard. They brought in McCullough. And
yeah, from Texas Tech.
KJ Adams is a player to watch on Kansas this year. Freshman last year that would come
he did
in.
Have that nice
he was just a spark off the bench. He barely played, but you can tell he's going to be really good.
He's got tree trunk size.
And not to mention, Kansas also has some really good recruits in. Grady Dick, another player to watch. Absolute sharpshooter.
Yeah, doesn't he kind of look like Christian Brown a little bit?
Yeah,
like
he does.
White guy.
He does.
Like, he's got that floppy hair. He's going to be one of those people just like Christian Brown. People are going to look at him and they're just going to despise him. He's going to be one of the villains of college basketball. That's my prediction.
I always made fun of Yosefu for transferring. He came from Drake, is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
I was like, why is he doing this? But maybe, maybe he's the winner now because
he's rode the pine for what?
A year. He rode it all last year.
The entire year.
I don't think he played more than like probably 5 minutes in a single game. I mean, he was never playing unless they were obviously up big. But maybe it was in his best interest because now he's going to get some.
What stinks for Kansas?
No, I was going to say, he's just going to get some spotlight now.
What stinks for
big team.
Kansas, though, is Mitch Lightfoot is gone after 6 years. He couldn't come back for a seventh.
He could not figure out some sort of COVID medical redshirt that he could squeak out an extra year. But then, he was there forever.
Moving on to Baylor, though, Alex. I know pre-podcast you were saying that your maybe hot take-ish thing was that you think Baylor is kind of a little overrated.
I mean, let's think about who they lost. They lost Akinjo, Matt Mayer.
Two best players probably.
I wouldn't go that far, maybe? But they still have Flagler and LJ Crier. They have their two bigs, Flo Thamba and Everyday John.
I don't think Flo Thamba.
I'm not writing home about Flo Thamba.
They're not really good scorers, but I just think they're going to be asking a lot out of Flagler and LJ Crier.
I don't specifically
in the scoring department.
I kind of agree with your reasoning. However, I remember last year's preseason podcast, I said that Baylor was overrated as well. And
look where they were.
I'm not sure I want to make that mistake again. So,
obviously they ran into a hot UNC team.
Yeah, but they were really good.
They were really good, and obviously they had tons of opportunities to win that game too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if I do agree with you in the fact that I don't know if Flagler is meant to be a centerpiece. He feels more
like
an off the ball shooter kind of guy. Getting his 8 to 10 shots a game. Not having to have the defense focus on him. So. We'll have to kind of see how that affects him.
Like, Scott Drew is a phenomenal coach. We talk about Scott Drew a lot.
That's why I'm kind of not going to hate him.
He'll get the boys going.
That's true.
Yeah, he might be the new.
I just think five is maybe.
He might be the new Jay Wright in the sense where if you're sort of undecided between two teams, he's that tiebreaker.
They got Scott Drew.
I think five just might be a bit high for me personally.
That's fair. But, we can't count out Baylor based off of last year. Kind of everybody was writing him off early on the preseason rankings, obviously. Do you guys want to talk more about teams now that,
let's get through the top 10 first.
Top 10. All right. Yeah. Then we can move on then. So that was 5 and 5. So technically 5 and 6, moving on to 7. Then we got Duke. Obviously the big story is that they no longer have Coach K, obviously, but
wait, you don't say.
No way. Did ESPN, did you learn from ESPN during last year's college basketball games that Coach K was not coaching? Because I sure as hell did not. And I did not know that he was done after this.
Shocking.
Shocking news. But Duke's going to.
So who did they all lose? They lost Mark Williams. Trevor Keels. Paolo.
Who do they bring in, though?
Jeremy Roach is still there.
Yes. Jeremy Roach is going to have.
Yeah, you think he's going to have a huge year.
But they are bringing in the number 1 ranked recruit, number 2 ranked recruit, number 7 ranked recruit, and number 26. So.
No, there that's Duke for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at something. It might be different rankings, but it says they're bringing in 3 of the 4 best prospects. So, yeah, I mean, yours was a little bit different, but they've clearly – Coach K leaving is not really affecting their recruiting class.
Well, maybe he did the recruiting, and you could have been.
It's Duke, though.
Like, it's Duke, yeah.
It's never going to change.
It's so storied that, kids will just want to go there no matter what, just for the history of the program. So, yeah.
But Jeremy Roach is going to have such a good year on Duke. We saw him last year in the tournament, kind of take over when Trevor Keels,
especially
had
in that
some
Michigan State game,
yep.
He came alive.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Roach, I think, is what Duke needs, he's gonna have to lead the team, basically. When you start four freshmen, you kind of need someone with a little bit of experience to kind of get them going, get them playing together. And I think he's passed first, which is going to be good for Duke, and get all the scorers the balls. The ball.
Balls. Multiple balls. Balls. More than one ball on the court. We can move on to number eight, UCLA. So UCLA, I feel like it's kind of been a weird team last year and then also this year too.
Because last year, the trio's gone. Now it's just the duo.
Now it's the duo. Last year, like, the expectations were through the roof. And I would say they disappointed relative to expectations, obviously.
They did. I mean, I had them go into the final two in my bracket, so.
That ended early.
That ended a little early. Everything in my bracket ended early last year, but we don't talk about that now.
We move forward. But, yeah, UCLA obviously lost Johnny Juzang. They bring back Jaquez and Tiger. Is that correct?
Yep.
Is it Cody Riley? That's his name. Is their first name Cody, I believe, right? The big man?
I think Cody Riley is
senior.
Is he back?
I thought he was a junior last year. Is he?
No, I think he is back. Yeah, you're right.
I think that's a solid piece to bring back as well, too. I don't know the details of the UCLA recruiting class, but
they got 2 5-stars coming in.
Two 5-stars.
I don't know much about them.
Adem Bona, Amari Bailey. Amari Bailey's like a combo guard. He's super athletic. He's going to be good.
Mick Cronin.
And they also still have some nice bench pieces. Like Jalen Clark will probably take a step up.
Yeah.
He'll be a solid player for them as well.
Obviously, you know, this is Pac-12 basketball. I feel like we've missed on Pac-12 basketball.
We sleep on the Pac-12.
We always sleep on the Pac-12, and I feel like we've missed the past couple years.
Well, I tried to not sleep on the Pac-12 in my bracket last year, and I had both Final Two teams being Pac-12, and it didn't work out great. So I might just go back to sleeping on them, to be honest.
Well, if history repeats itself, then you could be cooked again, because the last time you slept on them, they were absolutely – we all slept on them. So.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see is true. And then maybe the most exciting team among the three of us that is coming in at number 9 is Creighton.
Yes.
This is an exciting team. They were very close to upsetting Kansas in the round of 32 last year. Very
incredibly close.
I don't believe they had Kalkbrenner that game.
They did
not. Who was their lanky big man, very lanky big man, who is back this year.
Sophomore Arthur Kaluma is going to take a huge step forward. Watch out for him.
He showed out in that game.
He scored like 25 points against Kansas in that Sweet 16 game.
As a true freshman.
Round of 32 game. As a true freshman, right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's clearly not afraid of the moment, and he has all the physical tools to be one of the best players in the Big East, honestly.
I don't know if they lost anybody other than Alex O'Connell.
Ryan Hawkins
probably needs more than Alex O'Connell.
He's a pretty big piece for them. I agree.
Good shooter.
But like you mentioned earlier, they got Baylor Shireman.
That's a W because he's way better than Alex O'Connell.
Way better.
Yes, Alex O'Connell was not very good.
He was not very good.
Let's be honest.
Coming from Duke, everybody was like, this guy is going to be unbelievable. And
he came off the bench most games.
He did come off the bench. Like, they were expecting him to be like the stud.
And like, not even six man. Like, he would get like 15 minutes a game sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes less. But this Creighton team, obviously, is going to be...
They're going to be the favorites.
Probably the cream of the crop of the Big East.
I just don't know how deep this team is. That's their one knock. I think their starting five is going to be electric, but they didn't really bring in too many recruits.
Really?
I think they picked up 2-3 stars.
In-house development is what they're hoping for.
Hoping for, yes.
Greg McDermott's a great coach, let's not forget. So
I'm just excited to see what this team's got, honestly. Yeah. They'll be fun to watch.
Cream of the crop of the Big East is probably a safe bet as of right now, obviously. Preseason, I would say.
Yeah.
But you never know, especially in college basketball. And then rounding out the top 10, we have Arkansas. And I don't know too much about Arkansas other than
huge recruiting class.
That's right. Was it the number 1 or number 2 behind Duke?
I think
Duke?
They're number 2, yeah.
Probably behind Duke, obviously. But they did get a bunch of recruits. I remember that Musselman, obviously. He's kind of electric everywhere.
It really seems like he's building a culture there at Arkansas. Like, it really
does. He's
so
electric, though.
When he runs around, Diet Coke on the sideline.
Or running around with that. Didn't he have, a boot on one time or something? Wasn't he, injured or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
He was injured that one time. And he was, running around.
That was against NMSU.
Yes.
NMS. In the second round, I believe.
First round.
Second round.
New Mexico State beat UConn
first round. Teddy Allen.
Yeah.
40 ball.
Hey, shout out to New Mexico State, by the way. We've got a friend who goes to New Mexico State, and he actually is, employed by the team. He helps with their practices, films some of their stuff.
They could be solid this year. They picked up Xavier Pinson from LSU.
They could be good.
That's a big pickup for them. Obviously, they did lose. They did lose Teddy Allen.
We may even be trying Teddy to get buckets. An interview with possibly a New Mexico State coach, player. So stay tuned on that.
It's in the works.
Yeah, we've got our connections there with New Mexico State.
That's true. That is true. But I mean, I don't really have too much to say in Arkansas either.
They're
guys.
A tough team to rank just because they're so going to be starting so many freshmen. Yeah, obviously, they lost J.D. Note.
Is Jalen Williams back?
Jalen Williams
yes,
got drafted.
Oh, yeah, he did.
So, yeah, they 15, lost their yeah. two best players, but they have a massive class coming in. Yeah. So I guess we'll see.
Unproven, kind of just probably based off of, you know, what they saw.
Just the talent.
Just
have.
The talent, that's fair.
Yeah. So that rounds out the top 10. I think we should just sort of now just start picking teams we want to talk about. Yes. I can start. I kind of want to talk about Indiana because they're the highest ranking team in the Big Ten. 13. They're ranked 13th in the AP poll. I think this year for the Big Ten is going to be
bad.
Like some previous years. You know, they're going to have a lot of teams make the tournament, but there might not be any that you think this team has a really good shot of winning it all. Their highest ranking team is 13th.
So you're saying that maybe you don't see a Big Ten team ranked in the big dance higher than a 3 seed potentially, something like
that. I mean, I totally think a team could jump up to 2, but it's one of those things where they're not going to have that top end talent like some of these other conferences, but they're just going to be so deep again, and it's going to be uber competitive within the Big Ten.
I think it's going to be a dogfight in the Big Ten. Obviously, I'd say Indiana's probably the favorite to win it.
But, like, even then, you don't know. Like, exactly. I would have Indiana as the favorite to win the Big Ten, but there's so many outcomes that I could see happening in the Big Ten. Like, I could see Illinois being really good.
I agree as well. That's another team I would want to talk
about
as well.
Rutgers could be
totally sneaky.
Michigan is probably going to be good as well,
too. I'm sure Sparty will have a good, good team.
Ohio State did pick up. They got the guy from West Virginia, Sean McNeil, they picked up. Yep. I think they picked up one of the Likely brothers from Oak State.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't hear that.
Lekikele.
Whatever.
It is Likely. You had it right the first time.
No, it's Lekikele.
No, it is not. It's Likely.
It's definitely Likely.
No, you're thinking of the tight end on the Ravens.
No. These are the brothers on Oak State.
It is not.
I thought those were the Boone brothers.
You are ruining our
reputation.
Oak
State.
Yes, Oklahoma State.
Okay. Then yes.
We will look it up after.
We'll have to do some pronunciation.
Reputation ruiner, Alex Hull, right here.
Pronunciation maestro over here.
But no, I tend to agree. I think Indiana's the favorite in the Big Ten. Who did they lose out of their starting five? They got Xavier Johnson, TJD coming back, Miller Kopp, and Race Thompson.
Who?
We're missing one guy.
I also think
I don't know, but I know
stinks, so
I know Trey Galloway is coming back, and Tamar Bates, who was a big freshman recruit last year, he is going to have a big role on this Indiana team.
I agree. One guy I'm scared about on that team is Xavier Johnson, because I watched him shit his pants on live TV. Live, in person, not even on TV.
In person.
Live, in person.
I witnessed that as well.
They played Wisconsin last year, and I think he missed a million free throws and had like a bajillion turnovers.
That was a wild game.
Wild game. So, like, you know, I have a little bit of a sour taste, and I kind of would watch him here and there whenever Indiana was on. I didn't get the best vibes from him, so I'm worried how, because he's obviously going to be their point guard, you know, their distributor, so kind of see how that runs. But that's the only guy I'm really scared about on that team. Obviously, TJD is in the running for Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah, they lost him, Rob Dickinson. Finney.
Okay,
like,
Rob Finney's kind of
buns. That's not that big of a loss.
Yeah, Rob Finney's kind of buns, but yeah, it's probably TJD Dickinson kind of leading the charge for Big Ten Player of the Year, I'd say. So,
if you told me to bet on a Big Ten Player of the Year, I would probably put my money on TJD. Right now, just being completely honest.
I don't really know who's going to guard him on each team, because he's like too much of a slasher for Dickinson, but he's too big for a guard. Slash a small forward.
Yeah.
He's a very athletic big. He's not like a Kofi that's just going to pound you down low. I mean,
exactly.
He can do that,
but
he'll also take you off the dribble.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and we also want to mention Illinois, obviously. Maybe I would put them as second favorite in the Big Ten.
I really see a huge range of outcomes for Illinois. I could see them
disappointment. You could see
being them. A huge disappointment and just totally missing Kofi Coburn.
Yep.
And not even making possibly the big dance. Like, I could see that being a possibility. And I could see their transfers really filling in some gaps and having them be a nice gritty team. Like, that's the thing about this Big Ten. This is what I was trying to iterate earlier. Like, nobody really, really jumps off the page in the Big Ten. It's just gonna be so competitive again.
Yeah, there's a lot of average to above average teams, no superstar teams.
Right.
So you don't really know. You can't predict how that's going to turn out. Obviously, Illinois is heavily transfer dependent. They're changing their scheme because last year it was get Kofi 25 touches a game. At least. I mean, you want to get him as many touches as possible.
Yeah.
They did lose Trent Frazier. Who had a below average year last year.
Who was that other shooter that they brought in for last year? They had another guard.
The guy from Utah.
What's his name? But they lost him, too.
Alfonso Plummer?
Yes, Alfonso Plummer. They lost him, too.
Yeah. Damn. So they lost Kofi and
all the shooters around Kofi.
Yeah, I know. But I think that it's the Kofi loss.
That's what I'm saying with, like, I could see so many things happening with this Illinois team.
They're totally changing their identity, obviously.
Right.
But I feel like losing those two, they both had bad years last year in terms of efficiency and percentages from deep. They both hucked a lot of threes and were not making that the best clip. So
we're probably going to see a lot of Coleman Hawkins.
Unfortunately.
That guy's a hothead.
He is a hothead. But I do love it because he chirps back and it's good for the game, I'd say, to have some players like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he does. Alex, I know another team that you wanted to talk about was Virginia. What are they ranked? 18th?
Virginia's ranked 18th.
And KenPom has them at 5.
They're an interesting team. I don't really know. They're bringing back a lot of guys, but they've been disappointing in previous years.
They have.
They've been disappointing since they won the national championship, I'd say.
Yes.
They did get Ben Vanderplas, which is a nice pickup. He's kind of like a Brady Manek type player.
He's from
Ohio, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Came from University of Ohio.
He played with Jason Preston. You guys might remember him.
Yes.
But I don't know. Virginia's interesting. It's weird seeing them back in the rankings, I think.
It is. I feel like they have just absolutely resided outside the rankings for the last 2 years. So it is weird to see them.
I mean, you always know that Virginia's going to be a solid defensive team. But the reason they were always so elite is
because they had playmakers. Can they put the ball in the bucket is always the question.
They had your Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre
Hunter. Right, they had elite talent.
They don't have – I still don't think on their roster of Kihei Clark and Reese Beekman, just their two guards, I don't know if they can score the basketball like that.
I could see Reese Beekman having a really productive year. He's entering what? He's his junior year?
Three, yeah.
Didn't he hit a buzzer beater last year against Syracuse or something? So –
yes.
I could see him taking a big step forward. He's.
How is that your reasoning for him taking a big step forward? Because he had a buzzer beater?
No, he's entering year 3, and he was a super high recruit. And I just like Reese Beekman because he's from our hometown. He actually went to the rival middle school.
Shout out, they also got another person from our rival high school, Leon Bond.
Right, yeah. They got a lot of Milwaukee connections here on this Virginia team.
But
why can't we just go play at Marquette? Like, it's right up the road. Really, really, guys? Why are we going to Virginia to score 50 points
Tony
a game
Bennett,
as
also
a team?
Wisconsin guy from Wisconsin.
It's fair, yeah.
But Tony Bennett's system is totally dependent on having stud offensive players or stud players that can get their own bucket. And that's why they won a couple years ago, because Kyle Guy could do that. Ty Jerome could do that. Obviously, DeAndre Hunter could do that.
He's
the best at that. So they're kind of his system is totally.
It was just really interesting seeing them. I think it was either 4 or 5 in KenPom. Obviously, KenPom is like that computer system that does the ranking, so it has no bias or human influences. So I would love to know what the computer loves so much about them. I haven't dug too deep into their actual rankings yet. So
for those of you that don't know what KenPom is, just go look at it. It is very accurate. North Carolina, they were obviously an 8 seed going into the tournament last year, but they were like top 20 in KenPom. KenPom knows.
Speaking of North Carolina, they're 9 on the preseason KenPoms.
Another interesting note.
Just that those were like the 2 main things that jumped out of me on KenPom. But
that's fair.
That's a little bit of an aside. Any other teams you really want to go over? Wisconsin? Wesley, how do we think the Badgers are going to be this year?
I think Big Ten preseason, I think they're ranked 9th because they were ranked 10th last year. Obviously, they shared the title of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And they're like one better. We were there. They posted like one better this year because they were ranked 9th. Yeah, they posted 10th. I mean, obviously, they lost an NBA talent in Johnny Davis. It's kind of like Chucky Hepburn or nothing for scoring.
Yeah, because Brad Davison's also gone after about 9 years.
After 9 years and another April Fool's joke of him coming back one of those later and he's officially gone. But I think they did pick up a good transfer from UW-Green Bay. It's sad that I'm having to say that UW-Green Bay transfer is like the highlight of the show in Kamari McGee. But he is He averaged 10 a game as a true freshman at Green Bay.
And he played in when Green Bay played against Wisconsin last year. Mm-hmm. Alex, we went to that game in person, and at least my main takeaway from the game was, who is that guy on Green Bay? Who's that guard
on
Green
Bay? He's the only one that can score for
them. He's the only one that was like willing to like, you know, take it to the rack and get after it.
I think the final score was like 70 to like 35 or something like that. I think they doubled up their points almost. So.
Oh, yeah. It was not a close game.
But the Green Bay guy, I think Kamari McGee had at least, you know, 10 or 12 of Green Bay's points. So
he'd be probably more than that.
Probably more. Yeah. He was balling, but they're going to be okay, I think. Tyler Wall is going to probably be the X factor for the team. Obviously, you know, Chucky's going to have to get some buckets, but I think Tyler Wall's kind of the X factor of the team. And seeing if Stephen Crowell can hold against Big Ten big men, as in TJD, Hunter Dickinson, for example. So kind of have to wait and see on them. But, you know, I'm going to have mediocre expectations, and then, you know, if they get exceeded, that's just phenomenal.
Yeah. The best feeling. Going with no expectations.
The best feeling in the world. But I don't have any other teams to mention. Either of you guys have any final teams?
I think Dayton is a very interesting team to note this year. They weren't really relevant last year except when they beat Kansas because they started four freshmen.
Yeah, they were super young
on their team. But clearly if those four freshmen can take down Kansas, they have some talent there. And all of those guys will be coming back for a second year. And that's why I think you're finding them ranked at 24. Because now that all those players mm-hmm. have a little bit more experience, they could have something there.
I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I do think people are sort of counting out Rutgers a little bit. Yes, they lost Geo Baker. Yes, they lost Ron Harper Jr. But Cliff Omorui is going to have a huge year. He's going to have a huge year.
Captain Cliff, oh man.
Cliff started coming alive last year.
Headband Paul.
Oh, yes, they do. Headband Paul's going to have a great year. He might be averaging 20 assists a game for all we know. So keep your eyes out on Rutgers. As far as mid-majors, UAB did receive one vote in the top 25 poll, so they could be good again this year.
Eric Gaines, I believe, from LSU transfer.
Yeah, I don't think he was that good at LSU, but he could be good at UAB.
He's decent.
Yeah, Wyoming got quite a few votes as well.
Yeah, they were. I think they were like seventh in votes or something like that. So yeah. Wyoming basketball, remember last year when like – in the first couple games, they were ranked top 12 net or something like that.
Yeah, there was some
metric.
There were
7-0 and like top 12 in net or something, and I was like, what is this? And then they got destroyed by some other whatever Power 5 team they played. They got killed.
They lost by a lot.
They lost like 25-plus.
They dropped very far after
that. They tanked pretty bad after that, so that was kind of funny. But Wyoming basketball just doesn't – those two don't go together at all. So
I don't know. I haven't really done – much mid-major research. I'm sure there are some other gems out there, but
I know St. Louis got votes.
We'll
as well
find
too,
them for
so.
You pretty quickly.
Yeah, give us a few weeks. Underway. Give us a few weeks. Any other ones, guys, or should we close it out here?
I don't have any other. No, nothing else to mention.
Yeah, it'll be an exciting season. We will get back to you after probably about a week after the season starts. And until next time, this is Made in March.